Radio Outcast is a hair-raising, gun-slinging podcast for mature audiences. Content warning. This episode contains depictions of horror, gunshots, hospitalization, animals in distress, monstrous creatures, and interrogations throughout the episode, which may be upsetting for some listeners. We encourage our listeners to prioritize their safety before venturing ahead. Thank you.
Drugs, medicine, paints, oils, stationery, hardware. Drugs, medicine, paints, oils, stationery, hardware. Drugs, medicine, paints, oils, stationery, hardware. Drugs, medicine, paints and oils, stationery, hardware, drugs, medicine. Saul. Not 2 moments before I was pushing inside the Nebraska Capitol. Sweat on my forehead, Sunshine's ache on my shoulders. Had Helix on one side and Charles at the other. On our journey from that damn hellboat, that Starlight Leisure, now sunken in the Missouri, we heard word of Lincoln's Rotunda. Another tower. Another big old obelisk showing up. And as we strolled through Columbus, grabbed a print of the State Journal, had a sketch of the tower back on page 15. Seeing folks in Omaha figured Lincoln was bragging about becoming state's capital. They'd erected a monument. Nebraska weren't but 20 years old statewise, yet they had a monument. But a pretty sad monument, you ask me. Plain old black rectangle. So common, I'd seen some just like it 7 times before already. Well, I'd no complaints. A tower in plain sight was a tower without trouble. So I thought. Ain't no tower in here. You think? Empty room. Not 2 moments before, Helix and Charles were at my side. Then no one. Weren't a soul. Me in that abandoned capital. Hello? High arches. Windows above bleeding light. A room too big for the kind of men who were always too small. A couple secretary desks here and there. Oil lamps on the walls and on the tables. But no tower. I was in the state capitol building. Looked straight up into the capitol's high cupola. Squinting at the sunlight coming down on me. Strange. Couldn't feel the warmth. Couldn't hear a thing. Set for my boots on the Capitol floor. And my voice. Calling out for him. Helix! Alright then. Charles? They'd been walking in front of me. So it didn't make no sense. Out the front entrance, Capitol Square. Starred trees. Not a leaf inside. Not on the grass, nor paths. When we came into town, could have swore Could have swore it was autumn. Not a person in sight. Pa always said, when in doubt, listen for birds. They're the first line they'll tell. Nothing. Not a peep, not a wing. Dreams don't make sense. You think you see things, you think you hear things, but it's all something else. Each step I took, the sound of my boots came late. But this weren't no dream. This was something. The hell?
Even before I lost my powers, I felt it. Glimpses of it. On the dance floor, feigning ecstasy. A rush of blood to the head. Feigning exhaustion after dancing my ass off for hours. Humans sweat. Humans stumble. I used to pretend to sweat. Dabbed water across my face. And after I took a few shots, I pretended to stumble. I don't know. I just wanted to feel human. These beings we apparently lord over. I wanted to understand them. Mom. Oh, my great crime. Orchard Beach. The Bronx. Humans. Everywhere. Kids running up and down the promenade. Girls with their boom boxes. Guys playing volleyball. Sand between my toes. I could almost feel it again. I've stood at the edge of the universe. I've looked out across the big, sparkling everything. Everything that those two greater gods, chaos and order, all that they made. And I just couldn't give two shits. But for some reason, Orchard Beach, New York, Earth. But I wasn't. On the beach. I was actually nowhere near the Bronx. How can I forgive you? You must have seen what happened. To me. To Jesse and Charles. You must have watched us walk into Lincoln and just... I mean, where the hell were you? One moment, Charles was going on and on about some near-death story again, and, you know, how he met the president and some crazy guy with a gun or whatever. I got bored, of course. Started daydreaming. I closed my eyes and let the horse carry me across the Platte River. You know, it must have been the sound of the river's water that reminded me of the beach. Weekend trips with Dre. But when I opened my eyes, it was just sand. Nothing but sand for miles around me. No, not sand. The ground was too spongy beneath my feet. What is it? It was salt? A salt marsh? Endless?
Where am I? Where the hell is my horse? Coda? Coda? Do you see? Coda? Coda? Jesse? Charles? Shit, 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 this is bad. I need to find... Coda! Charles! Jesse!
Helix tells me the heavens must be shuffling themselves into a fit. In that case, perhaps today's unfoldings come as no surprise. Perhaps I would have had less restraint than my barefoot friend. Did I say friend? Of course I mean my target. The cowboy and I, the goddess and I, we had been spirited apart. Divide and conquer. No, to be torn asunder by the agent unaware.
Right this way. Right through these doors. Mr. Osgood, you said? It's been quite some time. How did you choose the name?
After the River Tower, I charted out several estimates for our next destination. Following the cowboy's circle theory, we would land somewhere in eastern Nebraska. Nebraska. There I was, configuring my soul for a dull journey through her tired, rolling hills, mounting the prairie vastness, scanning for hearsay about a strange tower that might have emerged. Well, did we receive word? We received such immediate confirmation that it seemed almost too comforting. But alas, we craved such fortune. An obelisk in the Lincoln Capitol, plain as day? Well, I'll be a whist man's watch. No, no, no. Far too plain.
Here, a room just for you. I'd have your name on the door, but...
I came to consciousness inside a long hallway. An older man, he wore a powder-white nurse's outfit with a mandarin collar and white shoes that were the only thing that distinguished a male nurse from a waiter. Well, these in the setting. With a lamp in his hand, he guided me down into the maw. It occurs to me now that the nurse never once turned to face me. I clearly heard a voice speaking, but I never saw his lips move.
Go on inside, Mr. Osgood. No worry. You won't be alone.
What compelled me to follow this nurse? I cannot say. One instant you are amidst the bustling K Street downtown Lincoln, marching towards the Capitol's gleaming white spire, and in the next moment you are transported into some starched dimension. What would you do? Besides, this place felt familiar. It felt, well, I suppose it felt drawn from myself, from a few uncertain truths. In any case, the nurse had fibbed me. I was alone. I was utterly alone in a small white room with one table. And on that table, a strange metal device buzzing like a fly.
All my life I've known quiet, been up and down the west, Ain't nothing but a yawning stretch once you're west of the Mississippi. And I know the quiet of early morning. That's a good quiet. But even then, you hear the bugs whispering. Even in the quiet morning, you hear the birds stretching. No matter where you are, you're never the only breath in that place, that Lincoln. All it had was wind. That dead breath of wind and the sound of my boots. But I'd heard something cry out before. Some sort of animal. Couldn't tell by the call, but I thought to find it. Seemed the only other life in Lincoln. At least in the Lincoln I had. Come on now. Come on. Where are... Middle of the dirt road. Out on K Street. The main thoroughfare. Not a soul inside. Then that little thing. Wasn't but a babe. Wide-eyed elk came rushing out. About a stone's throw off. Brown fur with white spots all across his belly. Threw his head around until it spotted me. Settled on me. Stared right at me. Had my hand on my gun. Just instinct was all. Pulled away from it. You looking for your... Wasn't me. Seemed a shot came out of nowhere. But it missed. The hell? Hey! Hello? No one called back. That elk went storming off between a couple buildings, and me still standing there. Couldn't tell which way the bullet came. That dead wind seemed to twist everything, but the grass wasn't moving, branches on the trees entirely stiff. Now I grabbed my revolver. Folks shooting in the middle of downtown Lincoln. Who knew what? Town could have been raided. Didn't matter. Soon as I pulled the gun out, saw a scrap of paper was stuffed in the barrel. Well, I didn't put it there. Drugs, medicine, paints, oils, stationery.
Fine. Not everything about mortality is easy and beautiful. I mean, could we not have skipped headaches in the design process? However millions of years ago that was. I mean, was I not there for that creation of mankind meeting? Oh, and don't even get me started on the sweating. And the feet cramping. And the period cramping. I just can't even... Ugh, never mind. I'm just saying, Mom. Out in that salt marsh desert, walking for hours and hours. Jeez. Jesse! Charles! Jesse! Charles! Coda? And then there's dreaming. Dreaming is new to me. For better or worse, gods don't dream. We have ambition, or whatever. But we don't have that repression, subconscious stuff. the weird wirings of the human mind. So don't blame me for not knowing the difference. Of course, I thought it was just a dream. I mean, Coda was gone. Everything seemed just a little too bright. Slightly off. Hey! You guys! Coda! Wake me up, please! Oh... Or maybe it wasn't a dream, I thought. Maybe I was abandoned. In Nebraska, of all places. Out in some huge salt desert. Maybe the guys got sick of me. Sick of looking after me. And Coda, too. Here I go again on my own. Going down the only shit road. Oh! Oh, shit! Just keep walking, Helix. Just keep walking. Oh, shit! To my left, to my right, those things beneath the salt, swelling up like cream-colored veins of the earth, slithering after me, more than I can count. They started to circle around my feet. Coda? Go away! I said, go the fuck away! Sonic push. I got the power back when we were in Deadwood, but I never needed to use it. In my existence, I've probably used it about 4-ish times, including now. The first was when I just got it to test it out, then twice on assholes back in New York, you know, men who wouldn't leave my friends alone. Audio is meant to communicate, to share things, not harm anything. But, I felt less guilty this time, pulsing those little shits into a salty powder. It filled the air, a fog of hazy salt raining around me. That's right. Stay away. As if the sweat wasn't already burning into my eyes, the salt clung to my face and arms, itched like hell. It was distracting. I didn't notice the salt shifting around again, taking a new shape. Not until it reached up and grabbed my ankle. A whole hand, made of salt, wrist and fingers and all. Something out of a fucking John Carpenter movie, tightening its grip. And then, another hand forming from the salt, rising from the earth.
I prefer rooms with doors. Yes, I'll hazard the theory that most rooms have doors. Some even have windows. And yet, to my misfortune, the room I'd been shepherded into had neither. Moments prior, of course, the nurse had opened a door, and certainly I'd passed across its threshold. And yet... Excuse me. Mr. Nurse, I do terribly when left to my own. Charles Osgood is not meant to suffer immense boredom. In fact, I reject it. Boredom leads to reflection, and reflection becomes an ugly little purgatory. Dear, no. I'd much rather be the mural than the mirror.
Take a look at the table, Mr. Osgood.
A voice from the machine. It seemed a familiar metal anatomy, much like the departed Sony machine. Is that you, Mr. Nurse?
We will begin once you take a seat.
An unseen voice was preferable to none. Ever the man of company, Charles Osgood. Yes, my sole motivators. I might confess now, dear mistress, that I am not unfamiliar to such places.
Of course she knew that.
Very well. A chair, a seat, I've taken.
I will ask a question. Please answer truthfully. Please speak honestly throughout this evaluation so that we may assess you properly.
I see. Perhaps a drink? Makes the difference between scrutiny and a game, you know? No? That is a shame.
Your name is Charles Osgood. Is that correct?
Is that my name? Well, of course. We haven't come this far, only to take our horse back to the bottle, now have we?
If the patient insists on not answering you, we will try something else. Look behind you.
In what circumstance do you hear such a phrase, look behind you, and it's meant for anything plain? I draped my arm around the back of the chair, then twisted round to face the what once was a plain wall. That very wall that once had a door. Now it had abandoned itself completely. Not even a wall stood there. It had become some dark corridor, a void of light. The white room now naught but a landing to its throat. I perceived it, and I knew it. Indeed. You wish for me to leave this room, then?
I will be with you along the way, even in the dark, Charles.
K Street. Been years. Must have been about 13 years. But I'd been there before. On the way up Kansas and through to Wyoming. Lincoln ain't nothing but due north of Abilene, place I was raised. 9, maybe 8 years old. Going up alongside Big Blue until that fork at Turkey Creek. Lost a few of the stock crossing on that one. Give another 40 miles north, northeast, and we were in Lincoln. Me and my old man. But there was K Street. Main thoroughfare of Lincoln, Nebraska. Nearly forgot about that trip so long ago. And that one general store. Drugs, medicine, paints, oils. All my boyhood was right beside Jacob Rogers. Since I was 6 years old, taking off on cow hauls. Leaving Ma back in Abilene, Kansas for weeks on end. Never a thing I learned, nothing that counts, that I didn't learn from him or Ma. Never left my pa's sight. Then came Lincoln. K Street, 9, 8 years old. Me and Pa was at the inn. Selling down after a long one. Before I could kick my boots off, he snapped me. Come here, boy. Take this.
A piece of paper? What are you giving me this for?
Go on out there. Find a store with these words on it. Now, I've been there before. I know the sign. Want you to get some grease.
Drugs? Medicine?
Not your mama taught you to read. Never mind. Give.
No, I can do it. You want me to go by myself?
My first time leaving his side. Went right down K Street until I found the general store. He had a big sign above the door, bright sea green letters with each of the words on that scrap paper. Went in, got the grease, and walked back to the inn. Pa was asleep when I got back. After that, he started sending me off on more and more little missions. But that was the first. Never forget the first. But that note inside my gun made not one sense. Why then? This don't feel right. No, none of this feels right. Another elk. Sounded bigger. I went on and got down in a crouch. Earlier was nothing but a babe, but this one had the same white spots. All the same places on his belly. Couldn't have been the same one, right? Didn't make no sense. But the spots were all the same. He had the beginnings of antlers on his head now. 8 nubs on his head. Didn't take a moment for pause, though. He went storming across the dirt road like he'd seen the devil. I waited for another rifle shot and got something else. Now, that. There ain't no bears in Nebraska.
No! Oh, shit! No!
I hauled ass. My body moved quicker than my brain. Bare feet all cut up from the earth, blasting the salt hands to powdery bits. But when one exploded, another crawled from the ground. Humans have adrenaline. They have fear. The goddess in me knew that something was majorly fucked about the reality, or I guess non-reality, of everything around me. But death? Death moves you. When you're human, it's just, don't die.
Help! Coda! Oh, please, Coda! Coda, where are you?
It's sort of ironic, isn't it? Millions of years ago, when the gods first convened to create living forms, survival wasn't even a concept. But you, the all-mother of communication, gave life forms a chance. You gave them consciousness. But with consciousness comes risk, perception, impulse, death. In order to survive, all life forms needed tools. They needed senses. And so you formed me. Me and my sisters.
Is it over? Oh. Oh gosh, what the fuck?
The salt shifted. First, like a bubble, a dome rising from the earth. Then two hands crawling out on either side. I wanted to run, but my blood went cold. I always laughed with Dre at those girls in horror movies who just stood there staring at the monster like a fucking idiot, but there I was. Idiot Emanium, watching the dome of salt rise up and form 2 vacant eye holes, 2 ears, a nose, and an open mouth filled with salty seepage. Salt being? Salt human. No, definitely not human. Almost human. It pushed itself out from the salt. But its head was too big, and its neck too thin, like a bobblehead stuck to a car dashboard. What gave it away was the eye sockets. Huge, baseball-sized, gaping holes where the eyes should be. But instead, salt oozing out like it was crying. I'd seen this before. You were there, Mom, when she presented her very first prototype. Spectra? Spectra? Millions of years ago, when me and my sisters presented our prototypes for human beings to the Pantheon, I remember how cold Spectra was after they applauded my design for the sound of a human heartbeat. But they hated her first iteration of human form. Spectra made the eyes too wide. I mean, of course she did. And when they told her to scale it down, she never forgave them. Spectra! Come out! Stop hiding behind your fucking illusions, coward!
Each step into the sudden corridor brought me further and further into darkness. Oh, I've never been a fan of corridors. Why make such a walk of things? No doubt, because they lead to dismal places, and they wish for you to become numbed on the journey. But there seemed little else to do than to follow the disembodied nurse's voice on and onward until I became wrapped in utter darkness.
Mr. Nurse, perhaps a light? Of some degree?
After this question, should you answer truthfully? Please be honest.
Indeed. I pledge myself to the truth, so let's be with it.
I had left the buzzing machine at its station on the table. Curiously, however, the device seemed present even in the corridor's depths, as if its transmissions carried down from that taxidermic white room. Alas, company is company is company.
You were listed as a citizen of Salt Lake City until you were excommunicated. Is that true?
Salt Lake? Seems a serviceable place that I know nothing of.
Before I'd heard it, I felt it. A certain warmth against my neck, as if an oven had been pulled wide behind me. I could discern nothing of its nature, only that it was near me.
The patient promised to be honest. Now please, answer the question.
The question? Indeed, of Salt Lake. A place one might...
The rush of heat upon my neck had a certain humidity. The taunt of some lurking thing in the dark? Well, I wish not to invite it closer, be it a beast or some figment. Perhaps you will not take offense, mistress, but there in the catacomb corridor, what have you, I became supremely aware that this was not your touch. You have a much more direct approach, might I say. No. This seemed merely a dream. Or perhaps I died and descended. For I am so wont to descend.
The patient agreed to be honest. Now please answer the question.
Yes, of course. Salt Lake, it was my home once.
Suddenly, there, on the ground, not a few feet before me, a torch emerged, lit at its own behest, and at last the corridor became illuminated, if only for an arm's reach. Hard white walls, hard white floors, and nothing of a beast behind me. Only the long, trailing dark.
The patient may now continue to progress in this evaluation and next step.
Radio Outcast was created by María Fernanda Vidal-Rasaga and J.T. Lachese, starring Ivory Amor La Francisca as Jesse Rogers, Jay Duong as Helix, Daniel A. Stevens as Charles Osgood, Griffin Otto Deniger as the nurse, and María Fernanda Vidal-Rasaga as Spectra. This episode was written by J.T. and directed by Fernanda, with support from our assistant director, Sebastian Sotelo. Produced by Eloise Bernier and Kevin Chie. Dialogue editing by Miles Cronwalgi, sound design by Rye Dorsey, with music by Samuel Kinsella. If you like what you hear, be sure to let us know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Good Pods. It helps us reach more listeners and gives us a chance to see what you all think of the show. If you aren't sure what to say but would still like to show your support, you can rate the show on any of those avenues as well as on Spotify. If you want more Radio Outcasts, you can find us online at radiooutcast.com, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, or join the Radio Outcast Discord server. All links are in the show notes below. We also have stickers and the full Season 1 score album available for purchase at our shop. If you'd like to help us continue to grow, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/radio_outcast. Our patrons have access to behind-the-scenes material, original scripts, and bonus content, including a letter from Seth Bullock about the strange duel that took place in the first episode of Season 2. But if that's too big of a commitment for you, if you become a patron at the CODA tier, for as little as $1 a month, you too could get a special shout-out at the end of our episodes, like
Alan L. and his clever tunes, The Lady of Many a Cowboy's Dreams, Miss Talia W., Patricia D., who no lawman can prove to have seen in the salt marshes, Lisbeth S., who's currently awaiting a beautiful sourdough starter to arrive all the way from Lincoln, Val V., who once gambled her way out of a potential hospital trip, Susan D., who legend says has never once had a bad dream. Lucky Susan. Lover of nature and shopping alike, the notorious Fearless Lila. Just a tad more mysterious than the bear Jesse found in Lincoln, Nebraska, it's Chelsea S. Bunny Hop, who has been known to quickly and safely traverse many a labyrinth. And last but not least, Paul R., who once shopped at the Lincoln General Store during its last year of operation.
To all of our patrons, thank you again. We appreciate you. And to everyone listening, safe travels.